We're talking about journalism this hour and the art of telling the story. Of course, great journalism doesn't always need words. There's a photograph I saw recently. It was taken in a giant trash heap in Nairobi. There's garbage. As far as you can see, garbage smoldering. In the middle, there is a young boy walking, head down, picking up trash. And behind him, you can see a huge marabou stork silhouetted against the sky, taking flight. That photograph is, well, it's haunting, it's beautiful, it's disturbing. And it was taken by photojournalist Brendan Bannon. He lives and works in Africa. And Strange Champs tracked him down.
Brendan, tell me about this picture. Is there a story behind it?
Yeah, so that picture, I mean, the setting of that picture is a place that I found really interesting. It's a place that taught me how to see in Africa. It's at the edge of the Dandora dump site, which is Nairobi's largest dumping grounds for municipal waste. And it's this hive of activity where people are on a daily basis kind of scavenging. And I was really drawn to it first because I saw a woman selling small jars of jelly, maybe an ounce or so. And I asked the person who was showing me around, I said, what's going on with that? Where does she get the jelly? Why is she selling it? And they said, oh, it's from the dump site over there. And my friend Mohammed said, yeah, when people fly in to Nairobi from abroad and they don't finish their meals, they're finished here in the slum. So these little jars of jelly were the remnants of unfinished first-class meals that were picked up by people scavenging and then sold on to this lady who sold them on to other people in the slum. And it was that kind of inventiveness that really blew me away. It really stuck with me, and I think it really instructed me to look for ways that people are able to invent a life and to start to look for that on the terms of where I am, not the terms of where I came from.
There's another series of photos I wanted to ask you about, and these are pictures you took at the Dadaab refugee camp in Kenya. The landscape is kind of ghostly. The sky is bleached white. The ground is just dust. The trees are dead. You can see a few bare branches. And in the middle of these photos, there's one single vibrant shout of color. There's a little girl in a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, there's a boy who's leading some cattle.
Yep. The girl in the tree was sitting at the edge of a long line of people waiting to be registered. There were close to 1,000 people arriving each day at the time that I was there photographing. And arriving after these grueling walks through the desert and kind of perilous border crossings. For me, that girl sitting in the tree alone at the edge was just doing what kids do. She was playing. She was trying to get a better view of what was going on, just observing everything. And, you know, as an observer myself, it's a way of, I guess, putting yourself into the picture. I'm wondering what I'm looking at the same time she's wondering what she's looking at, I think.
Well, I was struck by those because they're photographs of a crisis, of something terrible that's happening, but they're beautiful. And I guess I was wondering about the role of beauty in your work.
Well, I think you want to take pictures that people want to look at. And finding the beauty, finding the wonder in a situation like that is paying homage to the fact that daily life goes on in a tragedy. I think a lot of how I approach a situation like that was developed because I spent years taking care of my mom, who had multiple cirrhosis. And from the outside, people would look at that situation and think that she was somebody who was suffering. But with this front row seat that I had to her struggle, I saw somebody that was surviving every day first. And there was an incredible beauty and power to that. And I take that, I think, as a challenge when I go out into these situations to see what is it that people are doing in their lives. And while they may be in the midst of a tragedy, they're also continuing to try to live their lives. They're continuing to try to be strong for each other. They're continuing to love the people that they love. They're mourning maybe the people that they lost. They're doing everything they can to maintain their dignity. And there is something, I think, that's fundamentally beautiful in that.
So you've spent years documenting refugee crises, AIDS crises, drought, war, you launched a new project, Daily Dispatches, which is intentionally very different in nature. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah, Daily Dispatches is hopefully an ongoing project that allows myself and a writer to tell stories of everyday life. We focused for the first chapter on Nairobi and over the course of a month reported 25 different stories. We looked for stories that surprised us and hoped that those stories would surprise other people. And in finding those stories, hope that we would reflect the complexity of life in an African city, to get away from, you know, the narrow kind of telling of Africa as a place of deep tragedy. There's also incredible vitality and inventiveness to life that people need to understand and see.
Hmm. What are some of the photographs you've taken with Daily Dispatches that people have been most interested in?
We spent a morning. We woke up at about 5 o'clock and got on the road quickly to the edge of Nairobi to spend a morning with 18 or 19 orphaned elephants. They were casualties of the ivory trade, and they were being cared for by this incredible group of Kenyan caregivers. So that was one.
What else?
We met with a group of grandmothers who were learning karate for self-defense. They were living in the same slum that I took the photograph that I described at the opening of the show, and had banded together to learn self-defense because there was a problem of sexual violence. So it was a kind of courageous response to a difficult circumstance. I have so many stories that we saw that.
Brendan, I'm curious about your relationship with your camera and whether it's changed over time. I remember talking with another photographer who said that her camera started out as a shield between her and the brutality sometimes of what she was photographing. And I wonder what your take on your relationship with your camera is.
I mean, it's a passport, I think. It's a passport into other worlds. It's funny, sometimes I find myself pulling the camera away from my eye when I see something that's really remarkable.
How come?
Because I don't want it to be there. I want to be able to see and confirm that I'm seeing it with my own two eyes. It's kind of a double check. I'll take the camera away, I'll look, and then I'll be reminded that I'm there to photograph and put the camera back up and take the shot if it's still happening. I mean, ultimately, I think that as a photographer and as a journalist, there's a principle that I share with students when I'm teaching, and it's to tell people that we're the least important people in the room, that in the end, we're not there to tell our own stories. We're there to tell somebody else's. And tell it as truthfully as we can.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Photojournalist Brendan Bannon talking with N. Strange Champs. I'll bet you'd like to see those photos, wouldn't you? Well, they're on our website, ttbook.org. I'm Jim Fleming. It's to the best of our knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.